Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Good afternoon. I'm clearly not Steve Jones. I am Chris Elio, filling in for the great Sean Carey at the producer chair. And for about a minute or two, probably filling in for Steve Jones in the host chair as he makes his way into the Sunbury Motors studio. It is the Steve Jones Show here on WKOK, News Radio 1070 WKOK, or WKOK.com, or in the various apps that you could be listening to us. There are a million different ways these days. That's just how things go. There are a million different ways you can join us if you want to join in all the sports talk chicanery that goes on here on the Steve Jones Show. The easiest way, the most direct way, is to talk directly to us. Call us at 1-800-795-9565, and we will patch you through as soon as possible. Don't know what the topics Steve has in his brain right now. Right now, there is Major League Baseball going on at this very moment, a Subway Series doubleheader today in New York City. They are in the Bronx, and the Yankees are trouncing the Mets right now. Mets are trying to make a comeback, but it's 9-5 after the Mets went and spotted Zach Wheeler, a 4-1 lead. But since that lead was obtained by the Mets, the Yanks have hung eight runs on the Mets, most of those coming against Mr. Zach Wheeler, unfortunately. So we'll keep an eye on that throughout the afternoon. But the big story in sports today has to be that NBA Finals game yesterday. What an amazing game last night. I don't know how many in this area are actually paying attention to it, but I know the viewership has got to be pretty good. You're talking about a dynasty that just refuses to die. I mean, that Warriors team will not go away. And last night, I gotta be honest, you know, I often don't count champions out until they're dead and buried, but with 3 minutes left to go in that game, it looked like that was the end. It looked like that was it. Raptors went up 6. Kawhi Leonard was taking over the game, and it just goes to show you that the way things go and why Kawhi Leonard said at the end of game four in Oakland, when they were all congratulating them and it looked like they were on their way to winning the championship, and he goes, nope, don't say that yet, because that fourth one's the hardest one to win, and he's the only guy on that team really that has any championship medal to him. The rest of that team is still pretty young. The rest of that team is still inexperienced in this area. You know, this is new ground for a lot of that team. And it showed last night, because Kawhi Leonard was the only guy scoring. He was the only guy doing anything. And the Splash Brothers took over. And before you knew it, it was a one-point victory for the dynasty that won't go away, the Golden State Warriors. So game six back in Oakland Thursday night should be an interesting show out in the Bay Area. Now, the real problem is Kevin Durant, arguably the best player in basketball right now, and he's gone. And not only is he gone, but it's an unspecified Achilles injury as of right now. They don't know the severity. And well, this sets into
he's going to New York, I think, to get it checked.
Right. And that could not only does it, I mean, obviously it's over for this year, but that reverberates into next season, possibly in the free agency and all that. That's a big, big story on the horizon.
Well, it might be over for next year too for him.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you know, because he's supposed to, you know, they're all talking about him going to the Knicks next year, or is he going to sign with the Warriors or whatever? It may be a far gone. It may not matter. It just may not matter now.
Well, first of all, he has been called a lot of things. by a lot of people, some on social media, some on standard media platforms, some, not many. Most media people are pretty responsible, but social media, there's no responsibility.
No.
Some people on social media are as responsible as responsible get, and you got other people who hide behind the cloak of social media and can be nasty.
Right.
Okay. Since signing, and I've said this about Durant the entire time, and I said this about Durant the day he signed with Golden State. Hey, Durant doesn't have to do what you want him to do. He's a free agent. He can do what he wants to do as a free agent.
Right.
So for everybody that complained that he should have stayed with Oklahoma City, that's their opinion, or he should have picked another franchise besides one that has the chance to be a, you know, that was coming off a 73-win season.
Right.
At that point, people complain right away. So he was called a traitor. He was called a coward. He has been called over time and during this injury. Oh, he's just playing it safe. He's only looking out for his own career. He's not going to come back and play in these games. He's not going to do that. He's more concerned about Kevin Durant than he is about the Warriors. Right? Well, now we all know that's complete nonsense because he went out and played last night.
Right. And he played like a hero.
And, you know, he had 11 points in 12 minutes.
3 for 3 from three.
In fact, he had 11 points on 5 shots. Now, right. the gold standard, if you want to be a multimillionaire in pro basketball, the gold standard is if you average 1.5 points a shot. Last night in his 12 minutes, he averaged 2.2 points a shot.
Right.
And he went out there and played. As I pointed out yesterday on the show, and I'll revisit the point, there is a very simple process for a player to play. And there is a difference between being hurt and being injured. Kevin Durant was injured. Normally, under circumstances with the particular injury he has, most people say it's a 4 to 6 week injury. You could be back as early as 4 weeks. You could be back as late as 6 weeks. It's usually in that range. Well, he was out 33 days, which is 2 days shy of 5 weeks. As I said yesterday, the process is simple. If the trainer doesn't clear you, you can't play. Right? So that's simple. So the player says, I want to play, and the trainer doesn't clear you, you can't play. If the trainer clears you, but the player doesn't still quite feel right, you can't play. But if the trainer says you're cleared and the player says, I feel great, you're going to play. That's the process.
And ultimately, it comes down to the player, right?
Well, no. It's got to be, again, I want to play, but the trainer says you're not cleared, you're not playing.
Right, but once the trainer says it's okay, it's up to the player. So in other words, Bob Myers was out there in tears last night saying, like, if you want to blame someone, blame me because I'm the basketball director, but you're saying ultimately it's the player.
It's ultimately, okay, it's the combination of the training staff and the player. Both have veto power.
Gotcha.
So the training staff says you can't go or you can't practice anything. Okay, that's ironclad. There is no general manager, no director of player personnel, no owner, no coach can make you practice or play if the trainer says you can't go. Nobody. They override everything. So all this stuff you've heard for years about college football and basketball, the coach has all this power. You know, guess what? The trainer walks in, doctor walks in, says can't go, can't go.
Well, and the good news here, and the thing about like the Golden State Warriors in particular, they have a former player as a coach. So I'm sure if anybody on the staff understand, it would be Steve Kerr, right? You know.
Well, but every coach falls under this. It doesn't really matter anymore whether you've played or not. Because you have to defer to the training staff. That's their job to tell you whether a player can or can't go.
Right.
And then the player can say whether they can or can't go. So if the player says, I can go, and the trainer says, no, you can't, you can't play.
And you know Durant wanted to be out there. I mean, anybody who thinks he doesn't want to be out there is insane.
Well, there are a lot of people who have assumed he didn't want to be there.
I read the articles, yeah.
And there have been a lot of assumptions about Kevin Durant over the years. And, you know, I don't blame him over the years for getting angry or popping off on social media. Because after a while, doesn't it get wearing on anybody to hear that you're a coward, you're a traitor, all you do is play it safe, you took the easy way out? You know, you say that, really?
The guy gets killed every play. He gets doubled every play. Like, it was last night was unbearable to watch. Toronto was super physical last night. That was just hard. It was a hard game for him.
And I'll say this. I thought when in the first quarter, I think it was the first quarter, no, you know, it may have been the second quarter, early in the second quarter, he went to the floor with Serge Ibaka, and he smacked that leg pretty good when he did. And I thought, wow, that's the litmus test.
Yeah.
He should be okay.
And then it was shortly after that.
Then he got hurt.
Yep.
But when he was out there, suddenly Klay Thompson had some room to breathe.
Yeah, totally.
Suddenly Steph Curry had some room to breathe. Now, the disturbing part is that when he did get hurt, that handful of fans, and maybe it was more than a handful,
horrible,
that were cheering. That guy in the baseline wearing the 33 jersey, the red 33 jersey, waving at him and then clapping.
Horrible.
They had to wave to him and say goodbye. I don't care about your tickets anymore. We'll find somebody else to fill that spot. You're done.
Yeah, it was pathetic. And I give the players, the Raptors players, a ton of credit. Not that I'm shocked, but I give them a ton of credit for like immediately trying to shut their fans down.
Because they know, as athletes, what it took for him to get back. He's been working hard. And see, this is the part that nobody ever sees. People don't see how hard the athlete and the training staff work together.
Right.
And the strength and conditioning staff to try and get an athlete back. It's also very difficult that when you are hurt or injured, and there's the difference between the two, you're hurt or injured, especially when you're injured because you're out a period of time, you can go to all the meetings you want. You can sit in on all the shoot-arounds you want. You can be at all the games you want. But you know what? There's always that separation feeling that you don't feel like you're quite part of it. It's just natural. And I've been around a lot of athletes that have been like that have been hurt or injured and have had to miss time. And because they've missed time, you just see there's that, you know, I'm here, I'm a part of the team, but God, I don't really feel like I'm a part of it.
Well, and then on top of that, you're talking about a guy in Durant who, again, the pending free agency and all the talk about how his legacy is tied up in this team and, you know, they can do it without him. Maybe they're a better team without him. Like, all of that nonsense, it's got to be in his head because you know that. I mean, you could say a lot about Kevin Durant, but he is a sensitive type of player compared to others. Like, he's not MJ when it comes to this. Like, Michael Jordan doesn't hear any of that when he played.
Oh,
Kevin Durant
Jordan,
hears all those voices. He hears all of them.
Jordan heard all that.
Yeah, but he shook it off.
Jordan used it as motivation.
Right. He uses it differently.
Okay. But you know what? Jordan heard or read everything about him. I can guarantee you that. And in fact, the single worst Hall of Fame acceptance speech I ever saw in my life was Michael Jordan's. I mean, I sat there. I rarely watch stuff like that. I go, Jordan's going in the Hall of Fame. So I thought I'd watched some of it. And he started rattling off every negative in his entire life and career. Right? He even brought back the guy that when he was a sophomore in high school, took the last spot on the team, and Jordan didn't make the team as a sophomore in high school. He brought the guy back. Right? And sir, I'm sitting there going, what the heck are you doing here? Right? And the poor guy's sitting there, you know, and you motivated me. It's not his fault that they picked him.
Right.
What did he go, pay the coaches off? I don't think so. He's a high school kid. They went out. They went at it. They picked him, not you. Right? And he's sitting there thinking, everything was a negative in Jordan's speech. It was all negative. So, you know, so believe me, you know, you talk about the Durant being sensitive to what's been said or written about him. Jordan oh, yeah, use it as motivation. But then he gives that speech, and you're like, oh, my goodness.
Well, I mean, that's after the fact, though. Maybe he's a bitter old man now, whatever.
Yeah, but aren't you better than that?
Probably. I mean, apparently not.
You know, in other words, if that guy beats you out, you bring him back and say, hey, Mike, you know what? You motivated me to be a better player because I knew I had to do a lot more, but you know what? You deserve that spot in the team. I'm thrilled for you being able to get it. You know, and I'm happy that you're here tonight. We can share this moment together. Something like that. He didn't do that.
No, of course not.
He didn't do it. Okay. So yeah. So Jordan knew all that stuff. But,
right,
but Durant, I'll tell you, he went out last night because he wanted to win a championship.
Oh, totally.
He wanted to help his team win the championship. That's what he was trying to do. This was not, he was very serious the entire time, he walking in serious. But the players will tell you that once the door shut and the media and other people were outside, Durant was kidding around with players, kidding around with Quinn Cook, kidding around with Steph Curry. And it tells you what the relationship-wise, what he has developed in Golden State was Andre Iguodala helped him to the locker room, and Steph Curry left the floor and was right behind him. There's a lot of items about teams that people, I think, make assumptions of and just don't know unless you're around a team every day as to how a team works. And let me give you a simple example. Here's a simple example. Everyone knows that on senior day, Davis Zemgulis hit a three-point shot on the final shot of his career. Now, let's now take it seconds afterward, because it was at the buzzer, and the team coming out and throwing their arms around him, and they were so happy for him. Right? I'll give you another example. Georgia State, Penn State playing football. Penn State won the game 56-3. Saquon Barkley, who's a great teammate. Saquon Barkley goes up to the coaching staff. It may have been James. I don't know if he said this to Charles Huff or he said it to James. It may have been to James. Hey, you know what? We need to put Nick Urie in the game. Now, Nick Urie is a walk-on from Lake Lehman High School in the Back Mountain area. High school teammate of Connor McGovern. And Nick Urie, with a guy like Connor McGovern in front of him, had a really terrific high school career. But here at Penn State, he's a walk-on. Well, usually walk-ons are on the scout team, usually, and walk-ons usually don't get a chance to play. Well, here's Penn State winning. It's big. It's the fourth quarter. And Saquon Barkley went over to James Franklin and said, hey, can we get Nick Urie in the game? I mean, Nick deserves a chance to play. So they put Urie in the game, and then Barkley says, we ought to give him the ball. Well, Urie got one carry for 4 yards. And that's the only carry he's had in the game in his Penn State career, but one carry for 4 yards. And when he comes off the field, the first guy to greet him was Barkley throwing his arms around him. Now, Barkley is a multi-million-dollar talent. And Nick Urie is a walk-on from Lake Lehman High School. But they're on the same team in the same locker room in the same running back room all the time. And there is something special about how, away from other people, how tight-knit teams can be. And you saw that last night in an example of superstar Steph Curry, star Andre Iguodala. Iguodala's a star.
Oh, yeah. Borderline Hall of Famer.
Right. I think he will get to the Hall of Fame.
It's close. It's going to be tight. Yeah. But yeah, I think he deserves it. He might be in the last room of the Hall of Fame, but he deserves to be there.
It doesn't matter what room you're in.
Exactly.
They open that door, you're in.
Exactly.
Between Philadelphia, Denver, the Olympic teams.
Oh, and then right? He's got a Finals MVP.
Golden State. Yeah, he's just a pro's pro.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Iguodala helps him back to the locker room. He's a star. Steph Curry, obviously, is a superstar, goes back to the locker room with him. Okay, this isn't about I got mine.
No.
That shows you, in reality, how tight they are and how it's far more personal. That's why I brought up the Zemgulis example. That's why I brought up the Nick Jeury example. There's a tightness to teams and how the public perceives players and how players perceive players. Many times it's totally different as to how the public perceives a player on the totem pole and how the players perceive the players. That to them, there is no pecking order. Like, we're out there sweating just as hard as you are. He plays just as hard as anybody.
Absolutely.
Just turns out, you know, through the grace of God, you've got more talent.
Yep.
Okay, I know we have to take a break.
Yes, we do.
We'll take a break. Back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Father's Day normally means a new tie, a pair of socks. If Dad is really lucky, maybe some new golf balls.
Well, Sunbury Motors is honoring dads with the Father of All Sales. SMC has 125 new trucks with savings up to $16,000. The Ford F-150 has been the number one selling vehicle for 42 consecutive years.
And one is sold every 29 seconds.
SMC has 2019 F-150s from $25,904. Plus, there's 0% financing for up to 72 months on 2019 F-150s. There's 16 of the all-new 2019 Ford Ranger 4x4s in both extended and crew cabs starting as low as $34,870. And Sunbury Motors needs your old truck, so they'll give you the most money for your truck trade, period. It's the Father of All Sales going on now. So hurry into Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. The U.S. women's soccer team is playing right now against Thailand. 35 minutes in game one of the defense of the World Cup, the United States leads Thailand 3-0. Alex Morgan scored 12 minutes in. Rose LaValle scored 20 minutes in. And Lindsay Horan just scored at the 32-minute mark. And the U.S. has a 3-0 lead on Thailand.
Those U.S. women doing it again.
The United States has had possession 73% of the time.
Holy cow. That's
so far in this match. The U.S. was the prohibitive favorite to win this.
Of course.
But there's a bottom line. I'm talking about this match. Obviously, there's going to be a point where they're going to hit a crossroads, maybe with a France or somebody like that. But in this match against Thailand, they're the prohibitive favorite. So is it a surprise they're up 3-0? 35 minutes in? No. But you know what? You still have to go out there and do it.
Oh, of course.
And you could be the prohibitive favorite all you want. You could also lollygag your way through it. Well, they are obviously dead serious about what's going on here. They've had the ball 73% of the time. They've been on the attack. You can tell they've been on the attack just even without watching it. It's on Fox right now. But they've been offsides 3 times.
Oh, jeez. That's a lot.
Right? Well, I'm just saying because, I mean, that shows you they're attacking. They're in the same group, which is Group F, with Chile and Sweden as the other ones. And Sweden, by the way, has already won. I think they won 2-0.
Yeah, they should get out of that group pretty easily, though. They won't have any problems until the elimination stages.
Right. Right. They should. But today just shows me matches like this to me show a maturity.
Sure.
If you may be talented but you're immature, you're like, it's Thailand, whatever, fine. Right? Or you can come out and be young and they've got some experience on this team. I mean, Alex Morgan is an experienced player. Obviously Megan Rapinoe's an experienced player. You know, a lot of experience. Allie Krieger from Penn State now back with them again. Alyssa Nayer, by the way. Well, that's is she in gold today? Yes, she is. She's in gold today. She's a Penn Stater.
That's the thing about championship squads is that they go and take care of business against the teams they have to take care of business. You know, that there is no throwing your, in this case, cleats out on the field and just expecting to win, you know?
And that, to me, these matches are a test of maturity. You go out there, you were expected to win, you were expected to win big, and that, guess what? You go out there and you take the task seriously, and you do exactly what people expect you to do.
Well, and also...
That's what they've done.
And that also sets this up for, like, second half. You can rest your Alex Morgans and your more experienced players.
Sure.
You know, so you jump out to a quick lead, and there you go. You know, so that, I mean, there's a million reasons why this works and shows a championship medal, you know, as opposed to an inexperienced squad.
I mean, Julie Ertz, you know, Kelly O'Hara, Lindsey Horan, Alex Morgan, Megan Rapinoe, Tobin Heath. I mean, they've all been around the block. I mean, Allie Krieger now comes off the bench. I mean, Carly Lloyd comes off the bench.
Yep. And they've really? All won World Cups
yes,
already.
Yes, absolutely. So they lead 3-0. In their group, by the way, Sweden beat Chile 2-0. So Group F had its moment today, and that's where they are. They're now, what, 39 minutes in? So that's the story at the World Cup today, World Cup women's soccer. We've been talking about Kevin Durant. We'll get one quick basketball note in for you. Curtis Jones from Oklahoma State announced today that as a grad transfer, he's going to go to Penn State. Jones was a top 70 national recruit who went to Indiana his first 2 years. So Penn State's played against him. He came in here. I tell you, Lamar Stevens was thrilled about this move. Patrick Chambers wants to play in a certain way this year. He wants to play up-tempo, and he wants 40 minutes max at both ends of the floor. Well, to do that, you can't just do that with a 7-8-person rotation. You essentially need to have a 10-person rotation. And Rozier Bolden, who came here to Penn State, and I really liked Bolden a lot in his freshman year. Thought he shot the three relatively well, 36%. I thought from the first time I saw him last July in practice that Bolden was a really good and reliable finisher around the basket. Now, what did he need to work on? Well, I felt that Bolden needed to work on being a better defender, typical of most young players. That's why I really like what I saw from Myron Jones and from Miles Dredd. They didn't defend like freshmen. They may have made a freshman mistake here and there, but they defended like older players. And so they had that nice background there. Bolden wasn't quite like that. Bolden also needs to develop his right hand. He's very left-hand centric. So even when he drives to the bucket to his right, he's got to work into his left hand to take a shot. So he's so left-hand centric that he has to develop his right hand. He even had a running joke with me at one point in Chicago. He said, I don't even know why I have this appendage. And he was kidding around. But, you know, he realizes that that's something he has to work on. And then the other part was he needed, and I pointed this out in the broadcast many times, that Bolden needed to be better in terms of strength and conditioning, because I felt like a lot of his turnovers happened from the fact he wasn't strong enough with the ball. And being strong with the ball is not just a mental thing. It's a physical thing where suddenly, boom, they can knock you off because you're not strong enough to handle it yet. And that's just age and maturity will happen with that. So now they get this guy. This guy comes in already who's already 22 years of age. He has played at both Indiana and Oklahoma State. He's been through the strength and conditioning programs repeatedly. He has a very low turnover ratio. He is strong with the ball. He's a good three-point shooter, not a great three-point shooter.
32%.
Right, good one. I mean, good, not great.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd like to see it up at 36%.
Yeah, all right? 36, 40. Okay. I mean, that's elite.
Right. Right. And not only that, but the other part about him is that he's a good defender. He has length. And you can go with Wheeler, Miles Dredd, Isaiah Brockington, Watkins, and Stevens as your starting five, And this guy can now be in the same category with Myron Jones, John Hara, Seth Lundy, Trent Buttrick. Now you've got 10. And as I pointed out once, I pointed out many, many times when people have asked me about Penn State basketball's long-term sustainability as a winning program, and I've always pointed out that I felt Penn State more often than not needed to be the older team. Well, guess what? This year, more often than not in a game, Penn State's going to be the older team this year.
Well, yeah, this kid's going to be a senior, right?
Yeah. Yeah, he'll be a senior and a grad transfer. Watkins will be a fifth-year senior. Lamar Stevens will be a senior. Then, look, Dredd's had a lot of experience as a sophomore. Jones has had a lot of experience as a sophomore. Brockington's been to the NCAA tournament. He's a sophomore. Wheeler's going to be a junior. Harris going to be a junior. Buttrick is going to be a junior. Well, guess what? You've now transitioned to being an older team. And not only that, but enough athletes out on the floor. And you'll notice that when the NCAA tournament rolls around, that so much to coaching is about trust. Trust means so much. Why do coaches go with certain players in certain situations? Because after practicing and practicing and practicing and seeing them handle situations in practice and then seeing the practical application in games, there does get to a point where a coach has trust in X amount of guys. That's why in the postseason you may see rotations because of the length of the TV timeouts and trust. Sometimes coaches are going with 7 guys, 8 guys. Hey, Mike Krzyzewski was playing with 7 guys last year. Those are 7 guys he trusted. It didn't work out.
Yeah, they burned out eventually.
Well, no, not burning out. It didn't work out because they were just beaten by other people. Okay, one other note on Penn State, and this is about attendance. All right, here's attendance. Penn State's teams in the top 10 in average home attendance this year. Field hockey ranks 2nd in the nation and number 1 in the Big Ten. Men's gymnastics was 6th in the nation, 4th in the Big Ten. Men's ice hockey was 7th in the nation and 4th in the Big Ten. Women's soccer was 6th in the nation in average attendance and number 1 in the Big Ten. Men's volleyball was 10th in the nation in national attendance, number 1 in the Big Ten. Now, they play actually in the EIVA, so that's what you had to use. Women's volleyball was 7th in the nation, 4th in the Big Ten. Wrestling was 2nd in the nation and 2nd in the Big Ten, obviously behind Iowa. And football was 2nd in the nation and 2nd in the Big Ten at $105,485 a game.
And Ohio State's the only one that beat them?
Michigan.
Oh, wow. That's a shock.
Penn State's average attendance was higher than Ohio State's.
Wow, that's surprising.
So those are the top 10 in home attendance this year.
That's like almost all sports. I mean, other than baseball.
Well, yeah, I mean, men's basketball is not listed.
Oh, yeah,
there.
Not basketball. That's right. I missed that one. Okay. That's still very good.
But yeah, Penn State's men's basketball attendance numbers. Now, again, these are based on tickets sold. So let's, this is always on tickets sold. It's not always, it's not what I call drop count.
Right.
Drop count happens to be, and they, eventually there's a way they can get drop counts.
Now, do kids on campus have to pay for tickets to go to a game, or do they get like a...
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
They do. Okay. Interesting.
Well, it depends on the sport. Men's basketball and football, they have to.
Okay.
Wrestling, they have to. There are other sports along the way where I think, for example,
maybe swimming.
Oh, yeah. No, they get it for free for
that.
Show your ID card and that's it.
Right, right.
Let me see here if there's any. I always have my Ken Pom numbers. Home court ratings, ref ratings. Let's see, arena capacity. There's nothing in here about attendance. But Penn State men's basketball attendance was not quite who's actually the number two in terms of tickets sold on campus last season. A lot of people don't realize that. Now, part of that is, you know, Rec Hall only seats so many for wrestling.
Right.
Pagula only seats so many for ice hockey. Okay.
The thing that's interesting about the attendance is that State College is not exactly near a major city, like, at all. I mean,
right.
You know, it's I guess it's within relative distance of what, Williamsport, or, but still,
Altoona. What's different about winter sports is that it's not like the reliability of a football weekend game, except for Maryland this year. Where it's always on a Saturday.
Right.
You know, for Penn State, for example, you know, you look at a weekend attendance. I mean, Penn State had one Saturday home game this year in the Big Ten. Okay. Let's see here. Now, this is obviously from a year ago, but Kentucky's number one in men's basketball attendance, 21,000.
Yikes.
I mean,
it's a big place.
Yeah, yikes. I did one game there once. Syracuse, I've done two games there. North Carolina, I've done one game. Wisconsin, Creighton, I never have. Louisville, I never have. Kansas, I never have. Tennessee, I have. Indiana, Nebraska, obviously. These places all sell. NC State, they all sell out. But that's, I think Penn State, I want to say average, you know, doggone, Rose gave me the doggone book today and I left the book at the TV station.
You mean the average attendance?
I think Penn State averaged 9,000 this year or something like that for men's basketball. I can just look up the number here. In fact, while I look up the number, we'll take that break. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Great to have you with us on the show today. Brought to you by our good friends at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And again, these are all based on tickets sold. I mean, football was number two in the country at 105,495 per. Only Michigan had higher attendance numbers this year. You'll see wrestling is number two in the Big Ten and number two in the nation. Well, that's behind Iowa. Well, guess what? Iowa wrestles in Carver Hawkeye all the time because that is the only facility they have on campus. I mean, that is the only facility Iowa has. The old gym, which ironically is where Penn State ended up going to their one Final Four back in 1954. That's not like, it's like the IM building now. Hey, that's what that is now. And so Penn State wrestles in Rec Hall. They have women's volleyball in Rec Hall. They've got gymnastics in Rec Hall. All that's in Rec Hall. In Iowa, they don't have that second building. They have to do everything in Carver Hawkeye Arena, all of it. So the opportunity is there to have greater attendance there compared to Penn State because of the size of the building that they're in. You know, I mean, people say, oh, they ought to move to the Jordan Center. Cale doesn't really want to go to the Jordan Center. He likes the idea of doing one every year that, you know, because they, one year they did two. One was Ohio State and it sold out, and the other one was Wisconsin and it didn't sell out. And it bothered him when that happened. That bugged him. I don't blame him at all. I mean, yeah, he's that's how he feels he can promote the sport. Let's talk about Penn State men's basketball. 15 home dates this year, Penn State. And again, this is tickets sold, but 9,046 a game.
That's not bad.
9,046 a game. You know, and again, that's tickets sold. But it, you know, it's...
And that's during a winter sport where our weather is questionable all the time.
Right. And again, there were a lot of close losses in a January where they didn't win any games.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So now you've got, you know, it probably curtailed how some people felt. I mean, about going to some games. Then in October, or excuse me, in February, they were fabulous. And in February, they performed really well, including the wins over Michigan and Maryland. And again, they averaged 9,046 a game. So that may not have been in the top 10 nationally, but around here, that wasn't bad. All right. Great to have you with us here on the show today. Brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.